Thank you, Lord. We worship you this morning. King of kings and Lord of lords, you are the majesty on high. You are the only true God. Lord, we worship you today. We praise you today. We exalt you today. We are grateful for the grace and mercy, the forgiveness that you have provided through your own blood. You shed your blood on the cross to pay the price for our sins, for the sins of all mankind. And all you ask is that we believe, turn from sin, and follow you. That's what it's all about, Jesus. I pray that people would just wake up to how simple it is, that we would stop loving this evil world and all of its lust and sin and evil and wickedness, and that we would love you first and foremost, enough to follow you, enough to surrender our lives. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that when we do receive it by faith, you ask us to walk in it, to obey you. Lord, I pray you make that clear to your people and to those who don't know you out there. Lord, we just pray today that your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord, in these crazy days that we are living in. And as the world gets worse and worse, as sin abounds more and more, you promise, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit upon your people in the last days specifically. They would prophesy. They would see visions and dreams. They would do great and mighty wonders in your name, because you haven't changed. You still heal the sick. You still raise the dead. You still cause the crippled to walk and the deaf to hear. You are the same God, both Old and New Testament. You are the same. You have not changed. And we worship you today. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Goodness gracious. You know, I'll just say this before we, and I do have some announcements to make this morning, but I do want to say that, you know, in prayer this morning, I just had this amazing feeling. It's one of the reasons I picked some of the songs, because normally Nancy picks them, but I picked some of those this morning, but particularly that one at the end, because, you know, none of us, at one point, none of us could see anything. We were all blind. We were all deceived. We were all captive to sin. We all thought that we were okay. You know, we all thought, well, I'm not as bad as that person, so I'm good, right? But none of that matters, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the only way to be righteous is to believe in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for our sins, shedding his blood and his resurrection, and being willing to believe that enough to give up your sin, your will, your plans, and to follow him. That's what he asked. Take up your cross. He didn't say just believe. He said, take up your cross and follow me. And he said, if you won't do that, he said, what? You're not worthy of me, right? But let me just tell you this much. God loves us so much that he's trying to help us do that, even when we are not wanting to do that. That's how much he loves us. He's actually doing things when we're rebelling. Think about it. Think about when you were sin, and if you look back on it, if you've been saved for any amount of time, and you look back how God was planning good things for you, even when you were rebelling against him in sin and wickedness, yet he had this plan for you all along. He's just waiting on you to choose him, to choose his will, to choose his way. And then he heard the prayers and answered the prayers of people for you, to open your eyes, to convict you of sin, to draw you to repentance, to draw you to faith in Jesus Christ. And think about it. In this world, there's so much deception and false doctrine and false religion. It's amazing any of us, it is a miracle that any of us actually find him and find the truth, right? Because there's so much evil and deception and error. It's just mind-boggling now. I think about that verse in Isaiah, and I can't remember now if it's in Isaiah 56, 57, or 58. It's somewhere in those My wife will find it for me where it says, but it talks about even those who depart from sin make themselves a prey. I mean, it is so much evil in the world that even people trying to depart from sin and wickedness and follow Jesus, they become, you know, vulnerable still to this crazy world out here. And there's so many pitfalls and there's so many wolves out there just ready to devour people. And so I'm just grateful today that I know Jesus. See, it's not religion to me, folks. It's not religion. It's not a creed, just a creed. It's not just something I believe. I'm glad today that I know the Lord Jesus Christ in a real, powerful, intimate way, that I can feel his spirit upon me, that I can hear his voice, that I can walk with him and see his miracles and see him answer prayer, you know, that I don't need a priest. Hallelujah. Jesus is my high priest. Amen. I don't need a sacrament. I don't need a religion. I don't need a denomination, church, denomination world. I just need him and my Bible right here. That's all I need. And let me tell you, that's what it's all about anyway, isn't it? The question in the last time, that's what we sang a song a minute ago, is he going to say, enter in or depart from me, I don't know you. And it's not that he don't know you. He knew you from before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew you. The question is, will you have a relationship with him when you die or when he returns? Will you be in a real relationship with Jesus Christ? Because he said, if you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You will not see it. You will not have any part of it. He said in Galatians, in fact, if you want to practice sin and wickedness, you want to practice adultery, you want to practice witchcraft, you want to practice fornication, reveling, partying, drunkenness, idolatry, he said, you want to practice those things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will have no part of it. Zero. Nada. But if you'll follow him, if you'll surrender your life to him, if you'll repent, if you'll say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to do your will. I want you to be my Lord. See, the problem with most people, they think we can pray that little prayer. You know, go ahead and put up Romans 10 real quick here. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Let me show you something. Because a bunch of you are liars. I'm going to prove it to you. All right? See, this church, these two scriptures are, you know, some churches, even some mega churches, still use these once in a while. All right? And what does it say here? Jesus said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Right? Let's just leave that up there, right there. If you will confess with your mouth, what? The Lord Jesus. That is, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Now, if you don't let him be Lord of your life, then you're a liar. And the Bible says no liar is going to heaven. See, we got a bunch of liars in the church. Oh, Jesus is my Lord. No, you're the Lord of your life. Or Satan's the Lord of your life. Because the one you follow, the one you obey, the one you submit to is the one that's Lord. That's why people take this out of context all the time. Well, I confess Jesus is Lord. Oh, really? But is he Lord of your life? Do you let him be Lord of your life? Is he your master? Is he the boss? Is he Jefe? That's my nickname around here, Jefe. But Jesus is Jefe. Jesus is boss. Jesus is Lord. And he doesn't settle for being half Lord of your life. Or three-quarters Lord of your life. Or when you get there and say, oh, well, I went to church once in a while. I sang in the choir. I was baptized, Lord. I was sprinkled. I was confirmed. The only question that's going to be asked when you stand there is Jesus, Lord, truly Lord of your life. Now, here's the good news. If you make Jesus Lord of your life, 100%. What has he promised to do? He has promised that he will take his own blood and wash your sins away. And that if you keep walking with him in that relationship, and I'm going to give you the verses, if you keep walking with him in that relationship, walking in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you and keep cleansing you and keep cleansing you from sin. But if you choose to not walk in him, walk in the light of his word, the light of his truth, if you choose to walk in darkness, then the blood of Jesus will not continue to cleanse you. So let's put that up. Let's go to 1 John. I'm just letting it go. I don't even know what I'm doing today. You know what? I almost feel today like there's some people that just need to get back to Christianity 101 here. You know? The blood of Jesus. Jesus being Lord. Being born again. Taking up the cross and following him. Understanding the precious blood of Jesus. Why does the Bible say it's precious? Because there's nothing like it in this world or in the other world. There's nothing compares to it. Because it's alive and powerful and eternal. The blood of Jesus is everything. We have nothing apart from the blood of Jesus. We don't have salvation. We don't have forgiveness of sins. We don't have the possibility of eternal life. We don't have anything unless we truly understand that the blood of Jesus Christ shed on that cross and his resurrection from the dead, that is precious. And in fact, the Greek word, when it talks about precious there in 1 Peter, is timae. It's spelled just like we spell our word time. But Tima just means there's nothing else. It's priceless. Not all the money in the world, not all the gold and silver in the world. There's nothing more precious, priceless, valuable than the blood Jesus shed on the cross for us. Nothing. You're nothing. I'm nothing. We're nothing. We have nothing. We have no hope or of anything apart from the blood of Jesus. And we must have faith in the blood. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Faith that it is not just the blood of a man who realized his divinity like we all can. No! It's the blood of God. The Bible calls it the blood of God shed for us on the cross. Sinless, perfect, holy blood shed for wicked, evil, sinful people like us. We didn't deserve him to die for us. I thought about today when I was praying this morning. I was thinking about him being beaten by Roman soldiers. His beard being ripped out. Him being spit upon. Him being blindfolded and hit in the face. Saying, prophesy, Messiah, who hit you? Them ripping his clothes off and beating him with a whip. Did he deserve any of that? I can't imagine that kind of suffering and humility and pain, and then being nailed to a cross, being nailed to the tree for us, so that we could have a chance. Well, you think about it right now. Without that, there is no hope for anyone. I don't care if you're a New Ager. I don't care if you're Roman Catholic. I don't care if you're Church of Christ. I don't care if you're Baptist. I don't care if you're Methodist. I don't care if you're Presbyterian. Pentecostal, it doesn't matter. If you don't believe what I'm saying about Jesus and what you need to do to be saved, nothing else matters. You could have all the religion in the world. You could try your hardest to be moral and righteous. But apart from the blood of Jesus, the righteousness that he gives us as a gift when we believe and choose him, there's nothing, nothing better than that. There's nothing higher than that. Oh, we can talk all day long. You know, I'll preach from Genesis to Revelation, from Genesis to the maps, about everything. I talk about stuff that most preachers won't even touch. But still, there is nothing more important than the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. And do you truly believe that? Have you truly surrendered to that? Have you truly been so overwhelmed by it that you know in your knower that you've been born again? That Jesus is really real. See, no one can talk me out of Jesus. I don't care. You can take the smartest 100 people in the world and the world's knowledge, and they could bombard me for a month, interrogate me under lights. Why? Why can they not change my mind? They're too late. Because I know Jesus. He changed my life. I wouldn't even know what real love was unless I felt his love. I wouldn't know what real peace was unless I felt his peace. I wouldn't know what real joy was and happiness was if I hadn't experienced him. There are times, folks, I'm telling you, I'm just riding down the road sometimes in my truck by myself, and all of a sudden just these waves of just peace and joy. And the fact that I'm saved. Just the fact that I know the Lord, I know Jesus for real, that it's for real. That there's nothing in this world, there's no amount of money that would make me turn away or give up him or deny him. No gun to my head or knife to my throat or anything else is going to make me deny him, because I love him. I love Jesus. You hear me? That's what it's about. Do you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is he everything to you? That's all that matters. That's all that's going to matter in these last days. See, here it is. Let's go back to this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. What does it say? But if. Hold on. Let's stop right there. But if. Conditional, right? It's not that Presbyterian Calvinist nonsense. It's not predetermined, no matter how you live it. But if we walk in the light, if we, who's he? John was an apostle. He was a believer. He was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. So when he says we, who's he talking to? Believers. But if we walk in the light, guess what that verb is right there, walk? Present tense Greek verb. What's that mean? Ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. My students got it. So what are you saying? If we Christians continue ongoing, continuously, and then presently walk in the light. What is the light? Jesus is the light of the world. He said this Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The word of God is a light. All right? He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Guess what the verb cleanseth is here? Present tense. Listen to them. They know it, right? Present tense. Good students. They learned something in the school of ministry. That's good, right? See, this is what's important. Do I walk in the light? Look, it's real simple to walk in the light. You don't walk in darkness. What is darkness? Sin, wickedness, evil, demonic, satanic stuff. I'm not walking in that stuff. I don't want that stuff. Now, my flesh, there's a part of my flesh that wants that stuff and will always want that stuff. But that's why we don't live after the flesh. We live by the Spirit. We live according to the Holy Spirit. We let the Spirit rule. We crucify the deeds of the body. We put the flesh under submission, under control. We don't let it control us. If you let the flesh control you, you are walking in darkness. It's simple. You're either walking in the light of Jesus, the light of truth, the light of the Word of God, the Bible, or you're walking in darkness. But Pastor Dean, now, I'm Roman Catholic. I've been sprinkled. I got the ash put on my face. None of that matters. I'm Presbyterian. I'm a Reformed Calvinist. I'm predestined. Are you walking in darkness? If you're walking in darkness, maybe you were predestined to hell. You better wake up. I thank God I don't believe that nonsense. Because I used to be on the road walking to hell, and I chose, hallelujah, whosoever will, right? That was goofball, so you can't even choose. So many demonic doctrines out there. I mean, come on, Calvinists. How do you follow a man that burned people at the stake and tortured Christians that didn't believe in him, didn't believe his doctrine, I mean? How do you follow John Calvin, a murderer, unrepentant? For years after he burned Michael Servetus at the stake, he didn't repent. He said if he wished he could do it again. I mean, come on, what would you think of me? Do you know the videos that would be made if I took one of my dogs and tied him to a stake out in the backyard and burned my dog? And John Calvin burned a man to death over a doctrinal disagreement. Yet, there's entire denominations and groups of Christians that follow John Calvin like he's Jesus. He ain't. That's good Southern for he ain't it. Better quit following these men, I'm telling you. You better quit. No, it's whosoever, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. That's good stuff. Let's keep going. Verse 8. This is just good stuff. We're just having fun this morning. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, there's a bunch of Christians running around saying they don't sin. There's a bunch of Christians running around saying there's not a sin nature. And yet Paul said that I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that when I want to do good, evil is present with me. He said, and though I delight after the law of God, the truth of God, the word of God, if I delight in that and I want to do what's right, he said, I see another law in my members, in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind. So Paul's in there describing the war that goes on in a Christian with versus the Spirit, the Holy Spirit saying, go this way, and the flesh saying, go this way. And let me tell you something, even the best Christian is not sinless. None of us. Anybody that says they are sinless is sinning right there because they're denying this scripture right here. So you're sinning already because you're saying God's word's not true because you listen to some foolish doctrine of men. No, I'm going to tell you right now, the best of us, when we're trying our best, trying to walk our best in the light, sometimes we sin. It's not the habit, not the rule, but it happens. Every Christian still sins. So world out there trying to hold us to some standard of perfection, we can't do it. We know we can't do it. That's why we continually go to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Please wash me and forgive me and help me. You'll never get past that. Which is why the next verse says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, a lot of the church doesn't even understand that. I'm telling you, most of the church world right now, the vast majority think, well, I'm a pretty good person. I go to church. You know, I serve. That's the big thing, isn't it? I serve. Good for you. But do you walk in the light? A lot of people serving in church and they're still in fornication and adultery. Oh, you're serving, all right. You serve. But you got a honey on the side. You hear me? Oh, you go and serve in the nursery. But you're still getting drunk on the weekend. Some of them are going to church hungover. Uh-oh. You done gone to meddling. Go to church with a hangover to teach the kids Sunday school. That is, you're laughing, but it happens all the time. You know why? I get the letters. I get the emails. A lot of people have been serving in churches, and they're walking in darkness, walking in evil. No. Oh. I won't even go there. I was just thinking of several incidents. But Let's go to Romans 5 real quick. This has been on my heart lately. We'll do announcements at the end. We got to do, don't leave at the end. We got to do some announcements. It's one of those things, you know, you got to do in church once in a while. Romans 5. Yeah, let's just start reading here because this is good. All right? Because I want to get down to something. All right, let's read verse 1. Therefore, being justified, what does that mean? Made right with God, made righteous, made holy, made clean, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or does it say through the Presbyterian Church? Does it say through the Baptist Church? Does it say through the Church of Christ, which they, a lot of them believe that they're the only ones going to heaven, right? No. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, let me stop right there. This one out right here, if you're truly born again and you know Jesus, this verse ought to make you happy. The joy of God ought to come in you. Because it says we have access to him. We have access to the very presence and glory of God through the blood of Jesus. That's what Hebrews 10 tells us, that by the blood of Jesus that we can come literally into the Holy of Holies. That is the presence of God. Apart from the blood of Jesus, you can't even ever experience. You don't get to experience the presence of God. So by whom also we have access by faith. What is faith? Relying in, trusting in, clinging to. By faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice. I guess this is what I've been doing here in the last, even this morning. I was just rejoicing, not in my ability to be righteous or to do everything perfect, but I was rejoicing in the grace that he gives to me by faith. Because I love him and I believe him and I trust him and I cling to him and I know it's his righteousness and his blood and it's not mine. And that I know I can't do it perfectly, but he already did it perfectly. See, that's the good news of Christianity. That's the good news of the gospel. You won't do it perfectly, but he did it for us. So if we follow him and we walk in the light as best we can, we stay close to Jesus, if we're in him, and he's in us. And guess what? His blood will keep cleansing us when we need the cleansing. Let's keep going. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Nobody likes that one. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So, as long as we have our hope in him, we'll never be ashamed. And we'll know his love is shed in our hearts. Let's keep going. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Here it is. Christ died. When we didn't have the strength, we were blind, deceived. He still died for us, even when we were rebels. Keep going. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through the Presbyterian Church, through the Catholic Church, through the Baptist Church. No. Through him, that is Jesus. How are we justified? How are we made right with God? How are we made righteous? Somebody look at it. Justified by his blood. The blood of Jesus. Not water baptism. Not talking in tongues. None of that saves you. Better start here, the blood of Jesus. Let's keep going. For if when we were enemies, We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, or that is his resurrection, that he lives forevermore. Let's keep going. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that right there, that hold on. We joy. See, sometimes you got to sit down and you got to remind yourself of what you've been saved from. What he's done. Do you still have the joy of your salvation? I do. I am so thankful that when I was running from God as a teenager and I knew better, and I was running from God and drinking and driving and doing drugs and fighting and having guns and knives pulled on me, I'm so grateful that he heard the little prayers of my great-grandmother and my great-aunts, and God kept me alive even while I was in that sin. So let me tell you, many times I think about this right here. I joy in God. I could have. There's so many times. Shotgun put in my face one night. Knife stuck in my face. Passing out behind the wheel, driving a car. I never wrecked. Someone else drove the car for me. I shouldn't be here. So I want to tell you, I joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ because of what Jesus did for me. By whom we have now received the atonement. What is the atonement? The payment for our sins, for our evil, for our wickedness. He is the atonement. Do you rejoice in that? Come on, Christians. Do you rejoice in this? Do you think about it? I think about many nights that I was drinking and in sexual immorality and get behind the wheel of my car and not remember driving 30 or 40 miles home to my house. How many times I could have went to a party sober, got drunk, and woke up in hell. Better know I'm glad for the atonement. Some of you think you were just holy walking on water since you were, you know, since you were born. No, you're not. Let's keep reading. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, ever over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and by the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Notice he doesn't say to all. See, if he did say to all, then we would have this universal salvation thing that everyone's saved, whether they know it or not. That's not true. He said to many. It's provided for all, but you have to take it. You have to receive it. You have to believe it, right? Well, let's keep going. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace, and look at this, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. How do we reign in life? What is he talking about reigning in life? Reigning in life. Well, if you go back and you if you keep reading, this is Romans 5, right? If you keep reading Romans 6, what does he say? He says, don't let sin have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace, right? So for the Christian, sin should not have dominion over you, should not reign. And he says in Romans 6, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Right? If you're a Christian, you can't be a habitual fornicator. If you're a Christian, you can't be a habitual adulterer. If you're a Christian, you can't be a habitual homosexual or pedophile or anything else. You know what I'm amazed is that I have to talk about this so often because no preachers talk about it. Very few, I'm telling you, will actually name a specific sin in church. I don't want to talk about that. It's too negative. Too negative. Was it the Babylon Bee said? Joel Osteen says even saying negative is too negative. He's going to have to go do some confession over himself, some positive confession. Oh, the Babylon Bee. It's a satire site, folks. But it does put some truth out there. It's like they said Joel Osteen was trying to determine whether the gospel was still essential in this COVID thing. Anyway, I digress. Oh, it's true, though. I've heard the man say, well, what people ask, what about sin? What about that? Well, that's just not my ministry. Okay. All right. Well, we know what it is then. Reigning in life. If you're a Christian, if you're reigning in life, then you're not letting sin reign. You're letting Jesus reign in your life. See, this is what's beautiful. We can reign or rule or live above the evil of this world, not because we can do it in our own strength. It says that by the gift of righteousness, we shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The reason I'm not still a fornicator, a drunkard, an idolater, deceived, is not because of me. It's because of him. Now, I choose to walk in the light. I choose to walk in him. So that's where, you know, Peter, you know, you really want to bent, really want to really just, like, cause a Calvinist head to explode. Just quote Peter where he told them in, you know, Acts 2 to save themselves. Right? Just that phrase, save yourselves. Ah, you can't save yourself. Oh, they lose their minds, right? All it's saying is, guess what? Jesus said this, John 12. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. See, the Calvinists say, guess what? The Calvinists say, no man can come, right, except the Father. That's true. The Bible said no man can come. But then Jesus made the same. That was in John 6. Jesus said, no man can come unless my Father draw him. Okay, I agree. But then in John 12, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. All men. All men. So therefore, there's not some chosen to go to hell and some chosen to go to heaven, predestined before the foundation of the world. No. All men is what he said, right? You hear me? So Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So Jesus is drawing everyone. The Holy Spirit is working on everyone, always trying to convict, trying to draw, trying to reveal truth. So God is doing his part. The question always is will we respond? That's the save yourself part. Respond. Respond to the Holy Spirit. Respond to the Bible, to the Word of God. Respond to that invitation, that call, that pull. Respond to Jesus and keep responding. Walk with him and keep walking. Love him more than this world and keep loving him. Amen? You will be tempted. You're always going to be tempted. You have a traitor. It lives with you all the time. It's called your flesh. It's a traitor. You got a Judas that lives with you all the time. But you know, you can tell Judas, shut up. I'm too busy listening to the Spirit. I'm too busy listening to the Word of God. I'm too busy following Jesus to listen to the flesh Judas. Right. The gift of righteousness. Somebody to be thankful for. You know, I used this example a long time ago. I remember somebody said, well, when I was writing Grace Abuse, I can't even remember if I put it in Grace Abuse or not. I have to go back and look. It's been so many years ago. But I remember writing this, my own little parable. And I was using this parable because I remember my pastor at the time, somebody gave him a Rolex watch. Those aren't cheap. I think the cheapest one's, what, about $5,000 or something like that? I don't know what they are now. But he was like, I can't take this. I can't wear this. And the elders in his church that got it for him said, well, then you're going to offend us because we bought it for you. So we did it. You didn't do it. So finally, you know, he took it and he wore it. And, of course, he got accused of stealing from the church and everything. You know, it's crazy. Leonard Ravenhill, though, now one of the most godly prophets of our time, somebody walked up to him with the keys to a brand new Cadillac and said, I felt led of the Lord to give this to you. And he said, I feel led of the Lord to receive it. Amen. But how many people you bet said, Leonard Ravenhill just taking people's money, driving around in a Cadillac, you know. But my former pastor was wearing that Rolex watch. And I remember I got to thinking about that. Because I was thinking about that, you know, that was a gift. He didn't earn it. He didn't ask for it. It was a gift. Now, but let me ask you something. He takes that gift from one of his elders. And let's say he took that gift, said, thank you very much, and walked over, picked up a hammer, put it on the ground, and beat the snot out of that watch. See, this is understanding your walk with God. It's a gift. Forgiveness, justification, righteousness, access. Everything you need to make it in life, to reign in life. Everything you need to go to heaven and not go to hell. Everything you need to be blessed and not live under the judgment and wrath of God. Everything you need, He has been given to you in a free gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You didn't pay for it. Somebody else paid for it. And it's been handed to you. But how will you treat it? See, the question, the reason I know that once saved, always saved, no matter how you live, I know that's a lie from hell. Number one, I know this book right here. But what do you think that elder would have felt like had my former pastor taken that probably $15,000 watch and took a hammer to it right in front of him and smashed it to pieces? Well, first thing I know, I would have said if I was the elder, I said, well, this man is a lunatic. He's lost his mind, and I'm not giving him anything else. The most precious gift that God had to give was His only begotten Son. How do you treat that gift? You say you're a Christian, you believe, you've received Jesus, you've received the gift of righteousness, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. How do you treat it? See, this is why there are going to be people, Christians, who crossed the line. What do I mean by crossing the line? A line that you can't get back from. Because it says if you keep putting Jesus to an open shame, you keep crucifying Him afresh, you keep putting Him, you basically keep embarrassing Him by the way you're treating Him, His gift. And guess what? He says you can get to a place where you start even trying to get back, but you can't. You don't believe me? Hebrews 6. Let's go to Hebrews 6 real quick. Let's read it. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith. Notice he said laying the foundation again, meaning you had laid it, but then you allowed it to be broken up and destroyed in your life by going back to the world, back to sin, back to unbelief. He said, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptisms. I love that. Laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. He said, and this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. Who's the heavenly gift we've been talking about this morning? Jesus. Tasted of the heavenly gift. He said, if you doubt that, then the next one clears it up. We're made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Let's keep going. Have tasted the good word of God, meaning you're not a babe. You have studied and learned the word, so you've become a mature Christian in the word of God. And the powers of the world to come, meaning you have operated in the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. If they shall fall away, guess what fall away there means? They let sin again and reign. They keep fall. They follow and keep following. Basically fall and keep falling and fall and keep falling and fall and keep falling. There's a point. If you've been a Christian, true born again Christian, if you keep doing this, you're going to reach a point where your conscience is seared and you become a reprobate. Says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves to themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. How are you? Are you putting Jesus to a, and the word open means public shame. Your life. Basically, how do you treat the gift? How do you treat the watch? Do you wear it? Do you take care of it? Do you polish it? Do you treasure it? Or do you beat it with a hammer and drag it through the mud? How do you treat? Let's keep reading this. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat, for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. Basically saying here, he's using the example, if you walk with Jesus faithfully, you don't let sin reign in your mortal body, it's going to be, God's going to bring the rain on your life, and it's going to bring the blessing. It's going to bring the fruit. But if you choose to let sin reign in your body, here's the next verse. But that which beareth thorns and briars, what is thorns and briars? Thorns and briars represent the curse. When man sinned, the earth was what? Cursed. Man was cursed. Eve was cursed. So that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Right? Let's go to Hebrews 12. Let me skip down to about verse, I don't know. Maybe I'll open here. I don't mind. It's not even 12 o'clock. How did we go through all this and it's not even 12 o'clock? Got my Bible all jacked up here. Hebrews chapter 12, let's see. We'll go down to verse 12. Yeah. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Again, who's he speaking to? The book of Hebrews, who's it talking to? Christians. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Let's keep reading. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Oh, time out. Let's pause a minute. Holiness. What is holiness? Holiness, the word, means to be set apart. You're set apart. You're different than the world. You're set apart from it. Why? Because you don't act like it. You don't talk like it. You don't live like it. And it says, without this holiness, no man or woman will see the Lord. Let's keep reading. Looking diligently, lest any man fail or fall from the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about a Christian going back into sin and causing other people to be defiled, causing other people to fall and to stumble. And look, fail the grace of God. Now, that again, some Calvinist head out there just went, poof. How can you fail the grace of God? Well, you can, because this says you can. Right? Lest any root of bitterness springing up. Bitterness. Offense. How many of you know there's a lot of people, their bitterness and their offense is not toward other people, it's toward God himself. Something bad happened in their lives, or things didn't go the way they wanted them to go, and they thought they were doing right, and why, God, didn't you bless me? Why didn't you help me? Why did you let this happen? And that root of bitterness sprung up, and it troubled them, and thereby many are defiled. Let's keep going. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Now he's saying, now he's getting into the meddling, because now he's saying fornication, porneia, Greek word porneia, or porneia, however. Pretty clear what word we get in English, it comes from that. But what it does is that word encapsulates all sexual immorality, from premarital sex, homosexuality, incest, bestiality, all of it's in there. Adultery, that word is an all-encompassing sexually immoral word, he says. And he talks about profane person. What is a profane person? Just a unclean, unholy, just a wicked person who's just living in sin. He says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Well, wait a minute now. How do you have a birthright if you've never been born again? If you've never been born again, you got nothing to give away. You understand? You got nothing to lose because you're gone. So he's saying here, if you've been born again, don't be like Esau, who for one morsel of meat, what, something insignificant, lost his birthright. Let's keep going. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I want to remind you of something. Jesus said this before Judas betrayed him. He said, woe be to the man that betrays the Son of God. Woe be to him. It would have been better for him to never have been born. All right? And he said that. And remember that when Judas, after Judas went and betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and then he saw that Jesus was not going to stop them or stop the Romans. This is what I believe. Because Judas then, when he saw that Jesus was allowing it to happen, his beating, his arrest, the crucifixion, he saw that Jesus wasn't going to stop it this time. See, he wanted Jesus to defeat the Romans and set up the kingdom. It says he threw the money down. So was it about money? Was it ever about money? No. But what's sad about Judas is, instead of falling on his knees and repenting, he went and hung himself. Committed suicide. Went straight to hell. And it's still there. Can you imagine being in hell, being Judas and being in hell, after you walked with Jesus for 3 years? Can you imagine blowing that? But look here. Judas showed remorse throwing the money down. But yet he could not find in his heart or in his spirit the ability to actually repent and get back right with God. And I believe that's what Jesus was saying. Not that his future was predetermined, but that He knew what was going to happen to the man that betrayed him, what he would choose to do. And let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of Christians. Listen to me. A lot of Christians in the days ahead, because their Christianity is so weak and shallow and empty. It's so surface. I mean, they're already crumbling. They're already covering their faith. Scared of a virus. And you're supposed to be a Christian. I almost did the verse. You know, this verse is about your face being covered, your mouth being covered, right? We ought to talk about those, but I'm not doing that this morning. Everybody now go look them up. They'll be ahead of me now, right? Oh, yeah. It talks about the judgment of God. It's a sign of judgment on you. And really, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a Christian and you're wearing them stupid masks, first of all, you need to do some research. Second of all, you're just showing that you live in fear. That's all it is to it. Oh, no, I care about other people. Let me tell you, Florida Atlantic University just did a test. I watched the video yesterday. I went to their website, Florida Atlantic University. Now, of course, they're trying to say, oh, the mask helps stop. It, without a mask, if you cough, it'll go 12 feet. You know that? The mist from your cough will go 12 feet, right? They showed the mask, the good mask, right? And they did different ones that the people are making and putting on. Guess what? The cough, the mist of your cough went through every mask and lingered in the air. They did it. They did the test. Go look at it. Now, they try to spin it as, well, it's better to wear the mask because it doesn't go 12 feet. Well, let me tell you something. The only people I'm worried about in public anyway, if we meet some of these people, though. Before COVID, you'd walk and people be just, you know, if I'm going to cough or sneeze, I'd pull my shirt up and cough in my own, right? Or real. We got people walking, just, you're like, what are you doing? You bunch of dang maniacs. Common courtesy tells you not to do that and shoot it all over everybody, you know. Before COVID, we do better, right? Except there's people with no home training. But the masks, they don't stop the mist of your cough or your sneeze. It goes right through, and it goes several feet. Some of it was going 5 and 6 feet. Some of it was, but what was amazing was it was lingering in the air. So the masks are not going to save anybody. Oh, and by the way, in case you hadn't heard, I watched the whole video, screen captured it in case it disappears from the internet. Dr. Stephen Bartlett, I believe is his name. Don't quote me on that. I have to go back and look. I was going to play a video. But this Christian doctor, born-again Christian doctor, who does mission work in Texas, he said he lost count how many COVID patients that he has treated since March. He said, I can't even tell you the number. He said, for instance, I had 5 new cases today. He's discovered, he said, on the record, on a news show in Dallas, Texas, he said, flat out, hydroxychloroquine and zinc, the Z-Pak, it works. It's a great treatment. Of course, all of these treatments, the earlier you get these treatments to the person, the better their chances for recovery. But he's also started treating them. He started back in March. He prayed about it. He said, I prayed and said, God, there's got to be an answer. And the Lord gave him the answer, and it was the inhaled steroid. What is it called? That's like albuterol is one of the brand names for it, but it's something else. But anyway, he said it's for asthma. But he said what it is, it's an anti-inflammatory. And he says what the SARS-CoV virus is a lung inflammatory problem. So he said that since March, he's been giving his patients the treatments, the breathing treatments, and zinc and an antibiotic for secondary infections. He said 100% of his patients has recovered. Not one person has died. He said in Taiwan, there's so many people in Taiwan in the space that they have. He said, if they tried to social distance, they'd all be out in the ocean somewhere. He said, so what have they been doing? They had 7 people die of COVID since this thing started. He said, they've been doing this. Some doctor over there figured it out. And that's what they've been doing. He said, what was it? In Japan, what is it? Japan, 120-something million people? Less than 1,000 people died or something like that. He said they started doing it. Can I just tell you that between hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pak and now this new treatment, he said he's written a 50-page paper that's going to be published. He said, but we can't wait 6 months for it to be published, a published study. So he sent it to Senator Ted Cruz. He said has it, and he believes that it's going to President Trump. So here's the thing. What I've been telling you guys is the cure is here. We have treatments for COVID-19, so there's no reason there should be any masks or shutdowns or social distancing. It's a bunch of nonsense. What this is a political game that's being played. And what's so sad is it's being played with people's lives. This is going to go down. Let me tell you, the people who went negative on hydroxychloroquine because Trump mentioned it, just as a political ploy that kept people from getting treatment that needed it, basically what they are is mass murderers. They better get on their knees and start doing some repenting, CNN. Right? And we know it's coming out over and over. The numbers are blown out of proportion. The CDC's been lying about it. The FDA's been lying about stuff. The VA's lied about stuff. Over half the COVID deaths have been in nursing homes that Governor Cuomo in New York sent them people into nursing homes to die. Kept hydroxychloroquine from them. What is that? That's a murderer. Why? For a political agenda. I should say the New World Order agenda. Yeah, they want that vaccine. And you know what this doctor said? He said there's no need for a vaccine. He said between the two treatments that we have for COVID-19, there is no need for a vaccine. And he says Fauci knows this. He said, and they're starting to do a study on this inhaler, this steroid, albuterol or whatever it's called, the actual. He said, they're starting to do a study on it. He said, but they're already skewing it. He said, because their study's only giving it to people at the worst, already on ventilators and stuff. He said, it doesn't work then. It works early. He said, I treat cancer patients. He said, we try to get it as early as possible. He said, one time he said he was doing a biopsy on a woman with a tumor and some kind of uterine cancer, I think. He said he was doing a biopsy, and he just went ahead and took the whole thing out right then when he was doing the biopsy because he saw how bad it was. And he said she lived because we got it early. Early. Get it early. Treat them early. If they come in with symptoms and they test positive for COVID-19, now we have two treatments, and he said that stops it dead in its tracks. He said he had people coming in who were already in terrible pain, that their lungs were already closing up, filling up. He said after the first treatment, they said, I feel better. He said, in fact, their fever broke. Why? Because your body's trying to fight that spread of that an inflammation. And basically what he said is it's lung inflammation. And so what I'm getting at is, This is the truth. This is a medical doctor. He graduated from, I think he was Texas Tech. I don't know, but he's a Texas guy. I mean, he went through medical school and everything out there. But this guy's been doctor for years and years. He goes on medical mission trips. But guess what? This is going to be out. I think the last I saw when the interview is over 2 million views right now. And it just came out in just the last day or two, right? But guess what? CNN, MSNBC, CBS, Fauci, they're going to keep lying. Oh, you need to keep wearing the mask. You need to social distance. Our own governor and lieutenant governor. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have a good time blistering them. I'll tell them we'll have a good time blistering them. It's bad. Let me tell you what. We've just had poor leadership, period, in these states. Even some Republican governors have been a sham, just a shame, just a pitiful excuse for leadership. Leadership does not follow CNN about anything. If CNN says it, you probably need to go the opposite direction. Communist News Network. You hear what I'm saying? The answer's out there. Doctors across the world, both Christian and non-Christian doctors, have told us what works. I mean, 80,000 people a year die of the flu, and we have no cure or treatment for it. Though, these treatments probably will save people from the flu too, right? We don't, here's what we don't play politics. And when I say play politics, I mean lying, deceiving, not telling the truth when people's lives are at stake. You just don't do it. So why did I bring that up? Quit being afraid. Quit being afraid of stuff. Christians, pastors, if you're out there listening to me, and I know you do, time to open your church up. Well, what if they come in and arrest us? Yeah. What are you going to do in the days ahead? If you fold up like a house of cards over COVID-19, well, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. Most of them can't even preach repent of sin, or Jesus is the only way, or homosexuality is an abomination, or transgenderism is demon possession. I mean, they can't just, no, pastor, very few can even stand up and say that to a group of Christians when they're preaching to the choir. So I don't guess they can stand up to the world. Well, it's past 12 now. All right, let me do this. Listen, folks. Quit being afraid of anything. Look, the fearful. Let's put up one more verse. One more verse for me. Revelation 21, 6 through 8. Since we're going to go down the road, let's read the hard stuff. This is the hard stuff. Revelation 21. We got to work on getting this to fit better. I don't know if it's fit. Is it showing good out here? Okay. Let's read it. Here we go. It's Jesus speaking here, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, somebody say the fearful, and unbelieving. I can't hear you. And the abominable. And murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, both Republican and Democrat, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you're a liar, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent. Why? Because if you lie, people are going to be affected by you. Satan is a liar. Lucifer is the liar. You hear me? So how can you be a liar and think you're going to be all right? See, I'm going to tell you, people that lie, preachers that lie, politicians that lie, and people's lives are at stake. Their eternal lives are at stake. This is why there's a hell, folks. You're not going to be annihilated in hell. You're not getting out after 1,000 years or 2,000 years or 10,000 years. No, the smoke of your torment will go up day and night forever. See, let me tell you something. God takes this stuff serious. Notice he takes sin serious because he gives you a list. Fearful, unbelieving, abominable. He says in the Bible that homosexuality is an abomination, so we know what he's talking about there. Murderers, abortionists. Whoremongers, that's just male whores. There's plenty of female ones too. Sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. All liars. Is that clear? So if you're a habitual liar, Governor Gretchen Half Whitmore.
who's a Inslee? Is it Governor Inslee in Washington State? What's the guy in Illinois? What's his name? I don't know, Fitzger or something weird like that. I can't remember. Where's Bashir? Is he Kentucky? I don't know. Kentucky governor, South Carolina, North Carolina, New York. Cuomo's going straight to hell if he doesn't. I mean, there's a special spot down there for him. Mass murderer. Let me say this before I do my announcements this morning. And listen to me good. Jesus loves you, even Governor Cuomo, he loves you. He will give you a chance to confess your sins, to repent, to be born again, to change your ways. But if not, there is no hope. And that's the point today. The only way to be saved, the only way to have your sins forgiven, the only way to ensure you have eternal life in heaven and you're part of the kingdom that God builds upon this earth for 1,000 years, and then you go into eternity with him forever. And folks, some people say, well, we're going to be in heaven, we're going to be on earth. Yes. We get it all. Folks, don't you understand? We inherit the earth, we get heaven, we get New Jerusalem, and we get whatever's beyond that. Because Jesus said things that no man has, that knows or has seen or even can comprehend that God has planned for us. I can't even imagine what eternity is going to be like, but don't miss it. You can miss it. You can sell out for something insignificant here and miss all that. So don't miss it. You hear me? It's not worth it. Sexual immorality, drugs, alcohol, stupid stuff like that. It's just not worth it. When Jesus, God in the flesh, died for our sins and rose from the dead, and you can know him. Again, I understand a lot of you just been to dead churches your whole life and you've never encountered his presence and his power and his peace. But you can. So I want to say this to you. I want to pray for you right now. And then we're going to do announcements. Don't you leave. We've got to do these announcements. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would touch and speak and convict and draw and work in every person. Whether they have never truly been born again, they've never come to you, they've never surrendered to you, Jesus, or if they're backsliders, if they've fallen away, if they've been putting you to an open shame, Lord, I pray right now that they will repent and return before it's too late. And I pray that people will be saved and give their lives to Jesus 100% so they can know your love and your forgiveness and your healing and your deliverance, and so they can be part of your eternal kingdom. I pray that for everyone that will hear this message, whether saved or unsaved, whether lukewarm, backslidden, or completely oblivious. I pray that eyes be opened, hearts convicted, and people see the precious blood of Jesus as they need to see it. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, listen. Skyfall. Got to tell you. We are ready. Skyfall 2020. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying that, 2020. I really can't. 2020. I can't believe it's you know, we may not get to have 2021, so don't miss Skyfall 2020, I'm telling you. We're going to have it October 23rd through the 25th in LaGrange, Georgia. What's the place name again? Callaway Conference Center. So you can go to our website, skyfallconference.org, isn't it? Skyfallconference.org. I'm working on getting the speaker list out. We already have some, probably going to add some to it. I'm going to try to see if I can get this doctor from Texas to come. I'm going to contact him as soon as I can. But regardless, don't miss it. I know we have Sheila Zielinski's going to come speak. She said she's not letting anything stop her this time. Lieutenant Colonel Brian Reed's going to be speaking again. Robert Paint Tank Moore is going to do a thing on Enoch that's going to be great. Anyway, Matt Long, he said if he can escape Trudeauistan, he was going to be here.
Jordan's going to be sharing on Operation Mockingbird. Pastor Troy's going to be sharing. I'm going to be sharing. Nancy. And we're going to have testimony time, too. I'm lining up people for testimony. So listen, though, let me just say this. It's not about the speakers. The presence of God was there last year and in a powerful way, even more so. The power of God, it was there more so than even 2018. And I believe he's going to be there. So listen, I know some of you are saying, well, I don't know, with all this COVID stuff going on. Stop. I'm telling you, it's different being there than it is watching online. And yes, we'll be streaming, but it's different being there. All right? Very different. So if you can make it, start making your plans. We're just a little over 3 months. Hotels and airports and all that are on the website, Skyfall. All right. Skyfallconference.org. Yeah, Nancy and Kelsey went to LaGrange the other day and went and talked to different hotels, so we are going to have some discounted rooms. But let me just say this. I think even if we paid full price for the rooms in that area versus what we had to pay in Auburn, it's like almost half. I mean, it's way cheaper in LaGrange than it was at the hotel in Auburn. Lunches are optional. You don't have to buy the lunch, but we're just doing the lunch because we're kind of out there. But again, Skyfall 2020 is LaGrange, Georgia this year, an hour from the Atlanta airport, not far at all. But everything's going to be on the website, skyfallconference.org. Also, I want to let everybody know, we'll end with the video here, but Fire and Grace School of Ministry, going to be starting early this year, all right? August 17th starts the first semester of the 2020-2021 school year. So definitely if you plan on doing that. I've had a lot of people talk to me, say, I'm doing school this year, but I haven't seen an application yet. So you have to go to FG Ministry School, August 3rd. We need your applications in by August 3rd because, listen, August 3rd is the cutoff because August 17th, classes will start. So this is no joke. If you're going to be in Fire and Grace School of Ministry, then you need to do it. What's our website is fgministryschool.com. I always forget if we're .com or .org. All right, fgministryschool.com. Fill out the application and listen to me. Fill out the application. Don't worry about the pastoral recommendations and all that, because we know many of you don't have pastors and churches, and I understand that. Some of you may be in between and all that. Don't worry about that. That's not the issue. If you're going to do it, get the application in quickly. And we're going to go out with the school promo, and so it'll put up the website there. Yeah. Okay, yeah, my wife just informed me to let everybody know that if you plan to do the School of Ministry this year, email us and let us know that you are before you even send the application in. That way we know to be looking for the application, because some came in late last year, didn't tell us anything, and all of a sudden school's starting, and here's an application in the mail. So no bueno. Let's do it right. What's that? fgschool@yahoo.com. fgschool@yahoo.com. Let us know. But quit the procrastination. That's a devil. Y'all know that? Y'all know I bind and rebuke the spirit of procrastination, because some of you are possessed with that. All right? So get free and don't miss Skyfall 2020. And if you're getting into school this year, giddy up. All right? Get moving. All right, we're going to go out of here with the school promo, and we'll see you next week, if not before.